Thank you, Melody, very much. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7 in your Bible. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Of course, this is called the Golden Rule. And as the Lord Jesus gives this universal principle of conduct, we find that that there is a setting for it. The setting, he starts verse 12, therefore. What is the setting of the Golden Rule? The setting, verse 11, if ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? The basis of this teaching, in the context, he's been saying that, you know, a father, if a son asks the father for a piece of bread, his fatherly nature of affection for a son would not give him a stone. If a child asks for a piece of fish, the dad wouldn't give him a scorpion. And then it says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts unto them that ask Him? The basis of this commandment is really the basis of the commandments of all the Bible. The nature of God. You know, a lot of people, they think the Bible's a bunch of do's and don'ts. You know, a bunch of straight-laced stuff makes life miserable. No, the truth of the Bible is based on the character of who God is. And one thing that God is good. God is good. And the basis of the Golden Rule, so to speak, is the goodness of God, as exemplified by the preceding illustration. A dad loves his child. He's not going to give him a scorpion when he asks him a fish. Why would he give him something evil when he asks for something that he could eat? And he says, you know where there's somebody that's even far more beneficial than that? That's God. And he's thinking about the goodness of God. Thinking about the goodness of God. Psalm 33, verse 5. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people never asked, never got on their knees and asked God for a drop of rain, but they got rain on their garden. There's a lot of people today They never dared to think of thanking God for the breath that they breathe. But every breath that we have is given to us by God. The earth is full of the goodness of God. There's a great statement in the Bible in which God is telling us about His goodness. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. Great verse in the Bible. And this is the context of the Ten Commandments. And this is related to our text, but God gave Moses the Ten Commandments there in the mount. Verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Here's the God that revealed to man the Ten Commandments. You know, it's interesting. I don't know, I was just sitting at the desk in the high school room the other day, and I was looking at one of their tests. And one of the test questions was, what is the difference between the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of France that allowed the bloody revolution of France to take place? I hope I'm getting the context right. The answer was, the Constitution of the United States believes in the depravity of man. Well, how does that relate to this? The truth of the Bible is based on who God is. The truths that God has revealed to us flow out of who God is. Let's turn our Bible to Leviticus chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. Ask people if they've read the book of Leviticus. Ask people how they enjoy the book of Leviticus. You know, most people will kind of have a little groan in themselves. But man, I tell you what, this is one of the most exciting books in the Bible. Book of Leviticus. And you know the key phrase in the book of Leviticus? This phrase, I am the Lord. The book of Leviticus is over 95% direct quotes of God. Over 95% direct quotes from God. And the key phrase is, I am the Lord. And what is he saying? He said, everything that's written in this book is based on who I am. It's interesting, the Bible says in 1 John, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The basis of all that is right and wrong is based on the character of God. Now, the commandments of God are merely a reflection of the character of God. Now, if people don't understand who God is, then they're going to have a complete different and twisted view of the commandments of God. They're going to be one of those kind of persons that say, oh boy, bunch of do's and don'ts. Bunch of stuff pushing you in a corner, making life difficult. Well, it's not true at all. That's a complete distortion of the Bible and a complete distortion of who God is. That is the brainwashing of liberalism, if people think that way. Now let's look at Leviticus 19, and let's look at the character of God as the basis for the commandments of God. Leviticus 19:10. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Wow. Now, this is not talking about socialism. This is talking about God loving the poor. And so he told the people of Israel, don't pick every grape. Don't get every shock of wheat off the field. Leave the corners so the poor can come and gather. You know why? Because he said, I'm the Lord. I am the Lord. Verse 12. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Verse 14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God, I am the Lord. Thou shalt not curse the deaf. I don't know if you can figure that out. The deaf can't hear a curse, can they? And the blind can't see a stumbling block, and they can't see who put it there. But there's a God who cares for the deaf, and there's a God who cares for the blind. It's his character that is the basis of the commandments of God. And everything is about who God is. Verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Verse 18, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear grudge against any the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. The basis of the great golden rule is the goodness of God. It's the character of God. You know, it's one of those great verses in the Bible. Do unto others as thou would have them do unto you. It's very much like that verse in James. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what? The golden rule is not only one of the timeless truths of the Bible, but it is one of the biggest revelations of sin and the sinfulness of people's hearts. Because how many people do exactly what that commandment says? Very few. Actually, none. Everybody has failed that commandment. You know, this really reveals our sinful nature. I remember one time, there was this girl, she's a teenager. And she wasn't always rebellious, but she became rebellious. And I was shocked by her rebellion. And I said to this girl, I says, you know, what you're doing is a very bad example to the rest of the children of the church. And she said, I don't care. When I was young, some of the teenagers in the church, they weren't a good example to me. And so, I don't care. I'll be a bad example. Well, that's quite a big revelation of the sinfulness of the human heart, isn't it? That's a real revelation of sin. She would have liked her older peers to be a good example to her. But when she got old, she didn't want to be a good example to the younger ones. Pretty clear breaking of the golden rule, isn't it? You know, the golden rule, a lot of times it's the golden rule for others. Did you know that? You know what I mean? The golden rule is for others. That's how I want them to treat me. I don't want to treat them that way. But no, that's not what it is. It isn't about how other people are supposed to treat you and I. It's about how we are supposed to treat others. And you know why? Because that's how God treats us. Because God is good. God is good. Now the Bible tells us that this golden rule is a summary of the Old Testament. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 again. Verse 12. Hey, let's read that verse together, okay? Let's everybody get there. We'll read it together. This would be good exercise to read it a few times. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I'll wait before you get there. So keep your finger there. You don't know when we're going to read it. I might have someone stand up and read it. Might be ready, huh? Okay, let's read it together. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. For this is the law and the prophets. This commandment is not only based on the character of God, this commandment is a summary of the law and the prophets. Now, the law and the prophets is a phrase that symbolizes the Old Testament. Oh, people say, the Old Testament. Oh, boy, that is really, dry, that's really straight-laced, in a corner. I mean, that is so old-fashioned. No, you've just been brainwashed by the liberal agenda out there. Jesus said, to do unto your neighbor as you'd have him do to you is a summary of all the law and the prophets. It tells us not only speaks of based on the character of God, but it reveals the character of the commandments of the Bible. It reveals the character of the commandments of the Bible. Now, a couple places in the New Testament. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Galatians 5:14. Okay, let's read that one. And since we're into reading, that way you can pay attention. Okay, Galatians 5:14. Scholars are turning to it in Greek. Okay. Verse 14. Let's read it. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh boy, you like that one. You want someone to love you the way they love themselves. Man, the Bible says the law. Oh, that terrible straight-laced law of God. Oh, man, throw it away. No, what does the Bible say? It's summed up. If you understand it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, the world sure has gotten people brainwashed, doesn't it? Against the Bible and against the truth. You can't think of anything better than this great truth: love your neighbor as yourself. What a great truth. Notice the passage we read today, Romans chapter 13. Let's turn there. Romans 13. We'll read that one. Number 8. 13:8. Let's read that one. See if you're in English class at all. Okay? Make sure everybody's there. 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And of course, it goes on to say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so here we have a summary statement of the law and the prophets. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and thyself. Of course, in Mark chapter 12, they ask Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's the greatest commandment. You know, someone asked me, or someone said, well, what's the worst sin? Murder? The greatest sin would be to break the greatest commandment, wouldn't it? And the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. And you know what? That means that we live in a country full of sinners. There's very few people who love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind. We live in a day of Christians who claim to know the Lord. That boy, they hardly can give God 1 hour a week. Nonetheless, love them with all their heart and soul and mind. Isn't that amazing? But the basis, this great commandment, the golden rule, is the summary, the Bible says, obviously, of the second half of the Ten Commandments, which is a fulfillment of the first half. You know, you can't really have the second half without the first half. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down before any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You can't have the second half without the first half. Because you can't have salvation. You can't have a good life without being saved. You can't live the Christian life unless you've been born again. You can't make the sinful nature do good only a short period of time, and it will rebel. You got to have a new heart. And so, this is a summary of the law and prophets. It's a summary in the fact that not only is it a summary of the teaching and the spirit of the law. What is the spirit of the law? The spirit of the law is love. Now let's illustrate it. You want someone telling a lie about you? Then why would you tell a lie about somebody else? You want someone to come and steal things from you? Then why would you go and steal something from someone else? You want to get a paycheck at the end of the week, but you don't want to pay your bills? Same difference, isn't it? You see, God's law is based on love, isn't it? And much of the world is based on selfishness. Selfishness. The golden rule is as clear a revelation of the fact that we are selfish. We are born selfish. The instinct to be selfish is constantly there. No wonder Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ, because of His death, burial, and resurrection, because of the canceling of the power of sin and the resurrection from the dead, that He can save us from our sin and our sinfulness when He becomes our Savior. And not only can a person delight to do this commandment, but they will continue to do it. You know, what does an unsaved person do with this commandment? I tell you what an unsaved person does with this commandment. They obey it a little bit. Maybe. Maybe. And pretty soon, they get tired of it. It becomes like a tightrope. It becomes like chained with chains. And they'll throw it away. Why? Because we're born with a sinful heart. And that sinful heart doesn't like to be confined. No way. It doesn't like to be told what to do. It rebels. You know, it'll do good for a certain period of time. But whoa, man, after a certain period of time, just says, hey, you know what? This is just too much. That's the flesh. But we need to have a new birth. Breaks the power of that selfishness. And makes us new. Gives us the Spirit of Christ. And so, let's find the definition of this. We see the principle of this great commandment is the principle of the law and the prophets. It's the principle of love that comes from God. It's a principle that's opposite our sinful nature. But what about this commandment? Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things which are ye would that men would do to you. It becomes a principle of what we would expect or desire of others in similar circumstances. What we would expect of others. You know, we have a pretty good standard for others. You know that? We do pretty good at that. We have a great standard what we want other people to do. They should do, Pastor, they should do that. They should do that. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's an easy one, isn't it? But the Bible says that becomes the law of right and wrong for you and I. You know what? We don't like that, do we? But guess what? You don't even need a Bible for that one, so to speak. You don't even need a Bible. You know, here's a universal principle. You don't need to know Exodus 20 verse, 15. You don't need to know Revelation 19 verse 20. You don't need to know the verses. You know this one. What would you expect of others or desire of others for you in similar circumstances? As they are guided by justice and mercy, what would you expect? And you know what, young person? Guess what? You expect someone else. You know, what do you think? You say, hey, one of your brothers, sisters, hey, don't borrow my bat. It's mine. Well, you're expecting them to treat it fairly. Do you do that with their stuff? You know, it's amazing how that works, you know? You can't borrow mine, but I can take yours anytime I want. That doesn't happen at your house, does it? Never. Never. Never happens at your house. You got perfect saints in every one of your homes. It's amazing, isn't it, how it goes? Notice how this great principle makes us impartial. You know, the fact is we're partial. Glad you said it. We want to be able to do whatever we want, but we expect others to do right. But this great truth, this law of Christ says, You are to be guided by this truth. And that truth will make you impartial. All of a sudden, you won't be thinking of things an impartial, expecting more of others than less of yourself idea. All of a sudden, justice will be much clearer of what is right and what is wrong. And notice how what it destroys. It destroys envy. You know, people get envious at someone else's prosperity. Guess what? If you were able to succeed, wouldn't you want to succeed? Of course. If you did a good job at work, and you were a good worker, wouldn't you want to get a raise? Of course. Envious at someone else who does well. Golden rule wrecks that, doesn't it? What about slander? You want to slander someone? Is that what you want someone to do about you? Make a big story? Make you out to be a monster? You know what I mean? The golden rule destroys a lot of sins. We already talked about it. Unkindness, selfishness, murder, adultery. You know, it's amazing what people expect of others, but we can do it ourselves. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the application of this is in many areas. This great truth, let's start off spiritually. If you are unsaved, on your way to hell, and someone knew how to be saved, would you want them to tell you? Yeah. Boy, that destroys not witnessing, doesn't it? That destroys this piousness that says, oh, I'm not going to bother people talking to them about their soul. I tell you what, that doesn't fit the golden rule, does it? This fellow who visited church last Sunday night, I talked to him, and I found out from him that John Christensen and I had witnessed to him in his house. And he remembered that. But the reason we went to his house was because 5 weeks before that we had stopped at his house and talked to his dad. But he didn't know that. But when we went to his house and talked to this Ernie, I think his name is, he remembered that. And we found out when to visit him, we found out that his dad had died 2 weeks after we stopped at his house and talked to him and shared with him the gospel. Ernie didn't know that. But when I told him that we had shared the gospel with his dad 2 weeks before he was killed in a car accident, you know what? He was mighty glad. He was mighty glad. You know, there's that principle. You know, there's somebody out there who's saved, whose dad is unsaved. And you work with them. They'd love to have you talk to their dad about Christ. Wouldn't they? If your dad was unsaved, wouldn't you be glad if someone would talk to them about Christ? You know, because a lot of times there's this real barrier between a saved son talking to an unsaved dad. Wouldn't you be glad if someone talked to him? The golden rule applies to spiritual truth. All these excuses we give for not witnessing. Destroyed by a golden rule. Spiritually. You know what? You say, Mr. Raines, he's a deacon. He better be a good example. Because my kids, they want a good example. Praise the Lord, he is. But what about you? Are you a good example? You expect someone else to be a good example? You want someone else to be a good example? But are you? You see, it kind of stops short expecting someone else, doesn't it? But we kind of free ourselves, don't we? No. Golden rule covers all the bases. Covers all the bases. You know, it's strange how this works. You know, some kid grows up and they try to find fault with their mom and dad about maybe something they did, gives them excuse for doing wrong. But you know what? When they grow up, many times, they're not a good example to their own kids. They may have been bitter at dad or mom, said, oh, they weren't a good example, and then they grew up and they're a bad example. Personally, boy, you know, we are really sensitive of how people treat us. Man, we're really, God, we got this down here. How about how someone is supposed to treat us? Right? That we don't, it doesn't even cross our mind. You know, about how we treat somebody else. I mean, you might be here a teenager and, you know, you expect mom to be so perfect, you know, and all of this and treat you with such kid gloves and, you know, all of this stuff, you know. But you know what? You can walk into the house and see mom and not even say hi. Wow. Sounds pretty unfair, doesn't it? Sounds pretty unfair the way we are. You see, the golden rule deals with our heart. Deals with the fact that we have a heart problem. Not only do we have a heart problem, and the fact they hold others to a higher standard than we have, but we have a heart problem. Because we just will automatically do the opposite of what we expect others to do for us. We need, everyone needs to come to the realization that they're a sinner. And if there isn't a better way to come to knowledge of our sinfulness than this great truth, I don't know what is. Boy, the sin is just as glaring as can be. We're sinners. We're born sinners. We need to be saved not only from our sin, the penalty of sin, but we need to be saved from the very power and the working of sin in our hearts. That's why Jesus came. Amen. He was manifested to take away our sin. This great verse tells us how much we need to be saved. How much we need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This verse tells us how much we need to be filled with the Spirit if we're a Christian. How much we need to be filled with the Spirit. We can talk about this, we can talk about that. But boy, this verse puts it right there. Selfishness is the opposite of being filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is a supernatural ability of God within us, in His person, to be selfless. Wouldn't it be great to go through this week and let the Word of God take effect in our lives? Wouldn't it be great if we could leave here today deciding, you know, I'm going to let this truth of the Bible be real in my life. I'm going to let it be a part of my thinking with all my personal relationships. I'm going to let it be my thinking in everything that I do. You know, what if you were a teacher someday and all your students did their homework like you do? Well, if you're a good student, they would be encouraged. But if you're not a good student, you know what I'm saying, right? It even applies to school, doesn't it? It applies to all of life. Perhaps you're here to say, you know, you're here today and you don't know that you're lost. You don't know that you're unsaved. You think your religion is good enough. Maybe take the golden rule and say, oh, I can do that. Maybe you'll discover something about yourself. Maybe you'll discover that your flesh, oh, it'll do it for a while so you can think that we're so good. But after a while, the flesh will get really tired of that. And the flesh will say, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to live the way I want. Well, it might be a great time of revelation of the reality of our sinfulness of our flesh. It might be a revelation how much we're not close to the Lord. And it might be a revelation that we truly are a sinner. Acts, sin isn't a mistake. It's our own personal desire, and that we need a new heart, and we truly need Jesus Christ really as our Lord and Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You for the revelation of Your Word and how, Lord, Your Word is so true and so real. And Lord, in just so few words, paints a picture of reality. The reality of the deepest part of our being, our soul, and who we are. And Lord, may Your Word drive us to Jesus Christ. May Your Word cause us to humble ourselves. May Your Word cause us to adjust our thinking and our mode of operation in life. And I would pray that your Holy Spirit, even this week, in your grace, Lord, would take this truth, not allow us, Lord, to forget it. May you prick our heart. May your Holy Spirit help us to see ourselves in a way that we've been personally trying to cover it up or deceiving ourselves. And so, Lord, may your word be used of thee. To bring glory to your Son, whether that be to turn to Him, finally seeing ourselves as sinners, coming to Him as the Savior and Lord. May it, Lord, be used of you to show us our sin in our own lives that has taken root and taken away, Lord, the glory of Christ in our lives. May you be glorified, Lord, as we yield to your Spirit and allow you to work in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.